After Reality TV Podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Daniel Oler.
We're coming to you from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas. This week, it's a bit of a calm before the summer reality storm. We have another episode of The Bachelorette to dive into. Dan's going to give us a brief rundown of the Kardashians I wasn't able to watch this week. And also, we'll break down and preview this season's MTV Challenge cast for Rivals 2. Dan, it's another fun week in reality TV. Before we get started, where can everybody find us online?
On Twitter, you can find us on at After Reality Pod, and then our Facebook page is After Reality TV Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, make sure to go to iTunes, give us a comment, let us know what you're thinking.
All right. If you don't enjoy the show, tell us what you would like to hear. If there's other shows you'd like us to consider watching and reviewing, please pass that along.
There's only so many man hours out there for us.
Only so many man hours. And things are getting ready to get very hectic during this summer reality television season. We wish it was getting hectic with the Bachelor Pad, but it's not. Maybe the Bachelor Pad will be back next summer. That's yet to be determined. We did get a bit of encouraging news the other day in an article we found online that they just weren't happy with the talent that was out there to pull into that show, per se. I just want Ryan Bowers, the trophy wife Ryan Bowers, to be on a season of The Bachelor Pad. I think that could be phenomenal.
Well, I think we get some good guys from this season of The Bachelorette, and maybe one more some females from another season of The Bachelor, and we might have a whole new crew going into next year's Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, and if not, bring back some all-stars. Bring back some of my favorites. Bring back Jesse Kovacs and Dave Good and that whole crew, and Kipton and Tinley and Elizabeth Kitt and Natalie Getz. Bring back season one. Yeah, that was the crew. I'm building my team. But I digress. Let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about this week's Bachelorette episode, Dan. A lot of things going on, but kind of a dull episode in my opinion. Fresher on my mind. I was out of town. I just watched it last night, so let's dive in. We start out with a one-on-one date.
Well, before we even get there, let's talk about what they traveled this week. They left the mansion. Beautiful Los Angeles, huge multi-million-dollar mansion. And where do they go?
A-City.
Atlantic City.
A-C.
I don't know if you've ever been to Atlantic City. I've been. It's not that much fun.
A lot of old people there?
A lot of old people. It's basically the boardwalk, casinos, and then it's pretty run down. It's a run down town. It was funny to watch the guys get super excited about going to Atlantic City.
Was Nucky Thompson there?
No. I heard, these are the words that I wrote down. Magnificent and amazing were used to describe Atlantic City.
It was produced very well to present Atlantic City in a very nice light. The guys felt like it was Las Vegas at the ocean. To quote one of them, I can't remember who said that, but Atlantic City,
L.A.
Not a tough decision there.
No.
So we get to Atlantic City. They get checked into a nice hotel. I thought the hotel looked nice. And it's time for a one-on-one date with Brad.
My boy, Brad. I had high hopes for Brad going into
this
season.
How metrosexual was Brad?
Wow. I think we learned a lot about Brad on this date. More
very, very awkward. Before they head out on the date, our good friend Mikey T tells us that he doesn't think Brad's the right one for Dez. He refers to him in his common form as this kid.
Yes,
this kid. But not a real interesting date. They do like some amusement park slingshot type thing.
And it looked like they had fun on the date.
Fun on the daytime date.
Yeah, and during the daytime date, I thought he was going to get the rose. They were having fun. They went and sat at a sandcastle and had a picnic. And it looked like they were having a really good time.
And at the nighttime date.
Yeah. Ooh, complete 180. It's hard to know if it was produced this way, but basically they sat there and looked like they were a couple for 50 years and had nothing to talk about anymore.
Crickets,
yes. So as you can imagine, you know, she wasn't feeling it. So what they do, they went to the top of a lighthouse to kind of get a view of Atlantic City and the lights and what was going on.
and throughout the dinner, he kept saying things like Bryden would say to Dez, but Dez seals things up with Bryden by making out with him. With Brad, he's just left saying, this is great, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then she takes him to the top of the lighthouse, and it's not a glazier.
but
he is dumped on the top of the lighthouse.
In classic Bachelorette fashion, she makes him climb the stairs to the top of the lighthouse. I almost wish she would have just pushed him out. I think that would have been the best ending to that date.
That would have been best if they had turned on the enormous spotlight in the lighthouse on him.
I wanted to bring this up, so I did, because you know Brad was one of my boys. I thought he was going to go far.
Brad was one of your boys. You had a team full of single dads.
A team full of single dads, and none of them are working out. So I did a little research on Brad.
Research?
Yes, and I found out
Remind me where Brad's from.
Brad's from Colorado.
Okay, yeah.
And that kind of comes into the story. Apparently Brad was having some baby mama drama back at home during the filming of The Bachelorette. And so what was happening, the baby mama was in Colorado, but wanted to move back to Dallas and take their son with him. But she didn't have custody of the child. It was all this drama, basically. So Brad got a phone call during the filming, and he basically had to leave The Bachelorette. And so that's why they went on this date. That's why she went on a one-on-one date with him, because she knew she wasn't going to give him the rose. So a little back drama there. So he actually went back to Colorado so he could be with his child. Because the child's mom was moving to Dallas.
Unfortunately for you...
Yes, things I wish I'd known.
Unfortunately for you, he didn't get to go to the rose ceremony and reject the rose. Because we know you get a lot of points. Want to plug our friends at fantasy4reality.com. That's fantasy, the number 4, reality.com. You get points on there if you turn down a rose.
So that's a little back drama.
How's that fantasy reality team going for you so far, Dan?
Well, it depends on how we keep score. We keep a score like golf, where the lowest possible score wins.
We're keeping score on guys left and what they've accrued points for.
Well, currently you're at total score of 2,340 points. And I have 1,190 points.
In the most shocking season ever. Oh.
I am down to, we'll get to this, but my team is looking pretty slim, and I might not crack 2,000 points.
That's rough.
For the whole season.
So, I had a big week from a couple guys. Let's get into that. Well, first off, you say this about Brad leaving, but it was a very teary-eyed exit for Brad. He seemed very shaken up about having to leave a girl that he hardly knows.
Yeah, and again, this could have been all produced, and they made him look like he wanted to leave, or, you know, maybe he was just thinking about his kid back home. I'm not quite sure, but, it was the baby mama drama.
Okay, so next date, we get the date card. Everybody's name is called except for James.
James.
They take everybody to the hall there in Atlantic City where they host the Miss America pageant.
And what does James do when he's left behind on the date? Probably the highlight of the season.
I laughed. James took a nice bubble bath and ate chocolate-covered strawberries
in the suite by himself.
And boasted about how great it was. So we get to the Miss America, Mr. Bachelor pageant, or Mr. America pageant presented by The Bachelorette.
Chris Harrison, former host of Miss America, probably the next host of it coming up.
I would assume so.
Surprise, surprise, in case you didn't know. So the Miss America contest is September 15th on ABC.
Not a surprise. So they walk in, they have a table of props, everyone needs to have a talent. Apparently it has to come from this table. There's also a swimsuit competition where I want to know who made the decisions on who got to wear banana hammocks, who got to wear board shorts, and who got to wear even smaller Speedos.
I agree. I had that same thought myself. Like, did you pick it?
Did they? When you filled out your questionnaire, if they asked if you were comfortable in it and you said yes, did that mean, okay, you get board shorts, and if you said no, you get a Speedo?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but...
And I went back and looked it up. I know we talked about this earlier. one of the guys in his questionnaire going into the season, we thought was interesting that I've been wearing Speedos for 25 years. I grew up as a swimmer. But he wasn't on that date. He was Dan. And,
okay.
Dan, as we know, your namesake, left in episode 3.
Don't remind
me. I think my favorite part from this thing, my guy Chris, the former baseball player parading around in high heels.
Yes.
While twirling hula hoops. But then probably the most disturbing portion was Bryden's striptease, pelvic thrust, grind towards the judges. It seemed to last a lot longer than it ever should have.
And not just the judges, but the only male judge I felt got the most of the thrust.
The mayor of
Atlantic City, yes. Just the look on his face is like, I can't, you know, things I have to do to promote my city.
So, in your estimation, best talent there?
I gotta agree. Oh, Mikey T., being able to pop and lock his breast, his pectoral muscles, and his speech at the end where, you know, finding love and all that good stuff. So, Mikey T.
So he gives this talk when he's doing the interview portion of the competition about not being a meathead, which he very obviously is. And then comes out in that part of the competition and proceeds to take his shirt off and do the pec bounce.
Exactly.
Some contradictory there for your guy Mikey T. Wait, is it your guy?
Yeah, Mikey T is my guy. Mikey T is my guy. Mikey T is like a
roller coaster. You can have him. While we're talking about Mikey T, I shared this with you. I came across, and I actually got this, Natalie Getz, Jason Mesnick season, Bachelor Pad 1 winner with Dave Good. Follow her on Twitter. She puts a tweet out about this deleted scene from the last episode 3.
Bonus feature.
Pool parties.
Pool parties, yes.
The pool party. Mikey T got a little one-on-one time with Dez. They have this heartfelt conversation where he talks about how he's feeling very insecure. Normally he's very confident. Dez tells him how she feels the same way, totally understands, because she's been in that same situation from her season with Sean. And then they share an embrace, and then Mikey goes in for an awkward kiss that Dez laughs through the several pecks of the kiss.
Yes.
And as if that were not awkward enough.
This is coming from Dez, who kisses everybody.
Dez laughs that off, and then Mikey T, who's only wearing his board shorts at this point, backs off. They share a laugh, and he reaches in his pocket and grabs some mints and says, "Hey, do you want a mint?"
Yes. I don't know much about women, but I do know the first thing I don't want to say after kissing them is, "Would you like a mint?"
And Dez said as much in her interview afterwards. So that whole scene, it didn't make the show. I think it couldn't make the show. I don't even know how it got to the internet. I don't think it could make the show because, as we saw this week, Mikey T still stayed around. So if you had seen that last week and said, "Oh, she's not into him," and then this week he got a rose, you would know that something's up with the production value.
Yes.
So group date, Zach ends up getting the rose with his song, a very Wes Hayden-esque song. I'm not saying he has the talent of Wes Hayden.
Which I thought, Casey won.
He is from Texas, too.
Yeah, Casey won Mr. America or whatever that contest was. I felt like he deserved a rose for winning that. I mean, what's the point?
I didn't think he deserved to win the contest.
Well, that might be, but I'm saying he won, so I feel...
Did you get any fantasy points for winning that contest?
No, I don't get any points for doing anything.
Okay, so that kind of wraps up that day. Zach gets the rose. It's good for my fantasy for reality team. James, it's time for his one-on-one date. Ronnie.
Yes.
I think he looks a lot like a Ronnie from the Jersey Shore. And what better place to go on their date? than the Jersey Shore. Right, Seaside exactly. Heights with the Red Cross to see the absolute, I mean, just horrific damage that was done by Hurricane Sandy in that area last fall. And an interesting date. It's a really good bonding experience, I guess, for Dez and for James.
And it was almost like a double date, right? Because there was a side story of a older couple.
Yeah, Annie. Well, I got to the hour and 10 minute mark, and I was like, "Well, they're gonna have an hour for this last date."
Yes.
And go ahead.
Oh, and so basically, the side date was a older couple who survived this. You know, lost a lot of their home and their personal belongings in Hurricane Sandy. A couple by the name of Manny and Jane, right? And so they kind of helped them, and they actually gave away their night dinner to Manny and Jan, so they
At
the House of Blues, so they could have their anniversary. Because if I'm correct, their anniversary was the night of Hurricane Sandy, and so they weren't able to, they lost a lot of good. So they really never had an anniversary dinner. So they did the good thing, and it was all heartwarming.
Yeah, very nice. It is something we've seen here. Like we saw Sean and I think Ashley go to the amusement park last year with the family, and the family had like the little girls, and they had the run of the park.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing some more philanthropy here through the Bachelor Bachelorette franchise. So they give this dinner, and they actually go back to Atlantic City and check on them.
Of course, they couldn't get leave it
to
alone
to hear Darius Rucker.
Who
play.
Did he show up? Finally, an artist I knew.
Yeah, and for me, maybe the best part of the entire show. I always find a tweet coming across the screen that I really like. J.P. Rosenbaum, Ashley Hebert's husband, he tweets, "Anyone else excited for the Manny and Jan fantasy suite segment?"
Oh, I didn't see that one. That's good.
So always keep your eyes down there on the bottom of the screen for those tweets coming through. And actually, before Dez and James came over to meet back up with Manny and Jan, they go to an Italian joint. They have some pizza and beer. We learn a little bit more about James.
Yes, he cheated on his last girlfriend.
When he was 18 years old.
Freshman
year in college.
But at the same time,
it's really holding on tight to that.
Yeah. Well, he might be one of those guys who just haven't a lot. We talked about this last podcast, but a lot of guys have these issues, and maybe he doesn't have a lot of them. So this was his story that he cheated on her.
Maybe setting him up for more.
Maybe.
Could just also be previews for next week that James may be getting painted into a corner.
Yeah.
So we've been through three dates, three and a half if you count Manny and Jan. Pretty vanilla.
Pretty vanilla, yeah.
We have an awkward kiss at the cocktail party. Michael.
Yes.
Michael, who I like Michael. I think Michael's a nice guy. He's got a good job. I think he's the district attorney or prosecutor or something up in the Northeast. But just an awkward situation there. Probably not as awkward as the Mikey T deleted scene. But Michael's on the kiss board.
Yes.
And actually, when you say that, the Bachelorette site, they do a kiss board, and there's Michael G. He has been added. He has one kiss in the makeout category. So 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys, 10 if you count Mikey T.
Which we're not.
But if we count Mikey T, 9 of those guys are still there, and there's only 11 guys there. So there's only 2 guys there she didn't kiss.
I would feel bad if I didn't get kissed yet. She kisses everybody.
Quickly, who is still there that she hasn't kissed? We haven't seen her kiss Drew.
Okay.
But I still think Drew is a legitimate contender if he ever gets airtime. And actually, I think she's kissed Ben, Brooks, Bryden, Chris. Has she kissed your guy Juan Pablo?
Yeah, remember they went on the date. They went on the date.
Casey,
the Lone Ranger date.
Casey awkwardly kissed her, right?
Yeah, their date. They went on a date.
Michael G. last night.
Yeah.
Mikey T, the lead of scenes, Zach W. So she's kissed everyone there except for Drew, who's arguably the best-looking guy there.
Maybe she's waiting.
I think they're hiding him. I think they're pulling a Catherine from last season. They're stashing the goods in the back, setting it up. It's all about that production value. We do see a little hesitation from Bryden come time for this the rose ceremony.
It was pretty much the only drama during the kind of cocktail party of what's going on. Bryden is kind of I don't know if he's not feeling it or he just doesn't like the show anymore, but he's like questioning, should he still be here? And, you know, it's a good question. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, maybe he doesn't like being known the fact that he's one of 9 guys that she's kissed. I don't know.
Maybe it's a case with Bryden. I think we see this a lot. You go on an early round date with the bachelor, bachelorette, and then you start feeling distance because you think you started out so hot and heavy, and then things start to change.
Yeah, I mean on their date they look like
he didn't get one on one time on the date, but she said sorry, Bryden, we didn't get one on one time. I'm sure we'll have plenty of time later, insinuating, hey, you're good to go, you're going to be around, I like you. So we kind of get through there. Zach K is a casualty at the rose ceremony. So I lose Zach K, who is actually I haven't been that big on him since we started the season, but I was in the when we drafted. I used my number 5 guy. So we learn now that we're packing up the bags. Maybe Atlantic City was just we needed to get from one coast to the other before heading overseas. We're going to Munich, Germany. To wear some lederhosen.
Yeah, you know, and this kind of what kind of bugs me about The Bachelorette. It's becoming a 2-hour infomercial for ABC. Last week we had the Lone Ranger date, which is Disney-owned, ABC-owned. This week we had the Miss America contest, which is going to be on ABC this year. And then another hour for the Red Cross promotion. So, you know, I'm wondering if this is how
the Red Cross promotion was more Goodwill.
Yeah, Red Cross has money; they do advertising. So it's just interesting that this show is really just becoming a 2-hour info commercial.
So next week in the previews, we see that there may be some controversy around James. Who knows what's going to happen with Bryden? Is Bryden going to settle back in? Is my boy Drew going to finally get looped in?
And how many of my guys are going to get kicked off next week? That's pretty much the only drama
I think you got Juan Pablo for a few more weeks, but other than Juan Pablo, you're sitting on Mikey T and Casey.
That's right.
Who we have that she's not really into either of them already because we've seen awkward kisses with both. But we did hear the tagline for next week, uttered by one bachelor. Next week is Armageddon. That's it for The Bachelorette. Let's go ahead and take a quick dive into Keeping Up with the Kardashians. As I mentioned earlier, I was in Omaha, Nebraska this week for the College World Series. Wasn't able to watch that. I was doing good to get The Bachelorette in. So, Dan, you said it was a pretty low-key episode of the Kardashians. I'm going to let you get into that. And I've been meaning to do this for 2 weeks. We haven't discussed this. We missed this. Chris and Bruce watched The Bachelor together. We learned that early in this season. Haven't touched on it. I've been killing myself for not talking about it.
I think it's the only time they're together.
Chris and Bruce, they watch The Bachelor together. We learn about this when Bruce gets his place in Malibu. Chris says, I miss Bruce because we don't watch The Bachelor together anymore. I digress. Dan, this week.
Yeah, it was actually kind of weird placement this week. There was 2 storylines. The first storyline was Bruce wanted to get a gun for the house, and Chris wasn't having it. Bruce, and he made really good points. He's like, you know, it's all about gun safety and making sure everyone's trained properly. So he took, I can't remember one of the girls, Kylie or the other one, to the gun range.
Kylie's the younger one.
So it was one of them, I can't remember, to the gun range to get training. But the whole, basically, episode was Bruce and Chris fighting about the gun. And they came to a compromise where they were going to have a safe no matter what, but... the people who don't want to have access to the gun don't know the combination to the gun lock, and the people that do.
Inevitably, when you do need the gun, it'll be the person that doesn't know how to get in
those safe. The other storyline, which was quite timely, was Kim was having pregnancy issues. She was actually,
it looked very painful in the preview.
Yeah, so she was having some sort of, you know, some pains, some really severe pains that was going on pretty much for a week with it. And it was funny because she had her baby this week, 5 weeks early. And what I've been reading, I think they think it's related to the issues that they were showing on this week's episode. That, you know, basically, she's not living a pregnancy woman's life. She's...
Kris Kardashian can produce anything.
Anything, so...
Hey, this week we're having pregnancy pains, and we need to make that baby come out this week.
Yeah, so it was basically all the stress that she, you know, in her life. You know, they talked about, you know, the divorce is still going on. There was a deposition this week.
This week on the show.
On the show, yeah, and so... Of course, you know, Chris Humphries didn't show up to the deposition. And,
it's basketball season.
Yeah, well, he had a game in L.A. that week. That's why they did the deposition. So it was all drama. She wanted to talk to Chris. He wasn't there. So that they believe that led to a lot of...
I still like Chris Humphries.
I do, too. I think he's a good guy. Well, not a good guy, but I think he meant well. I think he just... I think
he got the short end of the stick.
He did get the short end of the stick. You know, I don't think it's easy to be married to Kim Kardashian and having cameras follow you and paparazzi and all that good stuff. I did want to bring this up to you, and it was kind of... So Scott Desnick was in this episode.
Scott Desnick, my boy!
Yeah, and Desnick. And, well, he was part of the gun storyline where he wanted to get a bunch of guns for his house with Courtney.
Of course.
And but what happened, they went to the gun training, the shooting range at the training, and he started acting all... You know, bravo, you know, holding his gun sideways and being all gangster.
That's how he rolls.
And then the trainer wasn't having any of it. I kind of think Scott was probably a little bit more afraid to have a gun than he wanted to let on. But he didn't get the gun. But at the beginning of the episode, him and Rob are kind of fooling around.
Was he still Fat Rob?
Yeah, Fat Rob was full. They were joking around. Scott and Rob started to, like, you know, kind of manhandling, you know, kind of checking out Scott's junk. What does Scott say? He says, "Get off my Scott Desnick." He said that.
Straight out of the Kanye song from Good Music.
So I was like, oh, Spencer's going to love this. And then you didn't even see the episode.
So you've said all this. There's only one thing that I really want to know. Was Brody on?
Brody was on. Brody was actually in favor. He was kind of part of the gun storyline. Brody was in favor. I guess Brody owns a bunch of guns.
Yeah, because Brody's a bro. And, Brody's my dude.
But Brandon doesn't want the gun. Brandon is on the anti-gun list.
Oh, come on, Brandon.
So Brody was on, and actually Bruce and Brody, there was a paintball kind of, they went paintballing at the beginning of the episode, and Brody and Bruce and Brandon and the girls all had a good time. So that kind of started the whole gun discussion. So that's kind of keeping up with
Kardashians.
That's Kardashians. Again, congratulations to Kim and Kanye. Northwest is official.
It'll only be a matter of time before we have a song out.
Yes. Get off my Northwest.
So, ready for Reality Rewind?
I am ready for Reality Rewind. My favorite subject.
Reality Rewind this week. Actually, before we get to Reality Rewind... Let's talk a little bit. We have the MTV The Challenge Rivals Part 2 coming up.
America's fourth professional league.
That's right. Not the NHL.
No.
Challenge. So, Challenge is coming up. The trailer's been out for a little while now. I've scrutinized it. I've watched it several times. I've seen a few things. I made a few notes here. I want to talk about these things. Looks like a lot of tempers flaring. Maybe more so than usual. A lot of pushing, a lot of shoving, a lot of loving. See Jordan and Sarah. Sarah Rice from Brooklyn. Yep. Jordan from Portland. We see Marlon from Portland and Jimmy. But Knight's there. What's Knight going to think? And then it looks like Nani and CT in a some kind of... making eyes at each other or something. And then Cook and Leroy.
Wow. And then there's...
Cook and Leroy were on the same season together.
Yes, so they have that. You know, they might have hooked up for all we know already. And then there's some girls frolicking in the sand.
Yeah, one of them's Anissa.
Yeah, of course, usually. And Rachel's not here, so...
So I don't know who that leaves to be rolling around in the sand with.
John A.?
Nah, I'm
thinking we should Not
Cook? Naomi? Maybe.
Paula.
I don't have a good guess.
I wouldn't put anything past Paula Walnuts.
I don't have a good guess.
Okay.
So challenge round. They show a scene from what is deemed the most dangerous challenge round of all time. It looks like some kind of electric fence.
I think they're calling it the dome this season.
We've had the dome before.
Have we had the dome? I think I thought I saw something about the dome.
The terror dome? Where you see Bird slap CT. Bird, Anna, Anastasia, whatever you want to call her. Have good reason to believe that her and Jess aren't there very long based on their demeanor on
the reunion,
on the Portland reunion. And we see the moniker Trashelle brought back yeah. up by Anissa. I did notice that in the trailer, it's a bit produced. The Trashelle name calling and the fight that ensues afterwards are in two different settings, and everyone's wearing different clothes.
Okay. Well, yeah. Usually
it's produced.
It's produced.
One other thing, I follow Mark Long on Twitter, and I told you this.
The godfather of the challenge.
The man, the myth, the legend, Mark Long. Cara Maria is tweeting him about his pocket protein. He said, tweets something back in the effect of, "We love Cara. We can't wait to see Cara on the challenge." And I say, whoa, hold up. Dan and I have already had our fantasy for reality draft for the challenge. Cara's not on a team, so of course I got to Google it. Turns out Naomi is going to be going home, and Cara is going to be replacing her and teaming up with Cook, which I think is a heck of a team.
Which is something I wish I knew 2 weeks ago when we did our draft.
And then today, I hadn't noticed this when I watched the trailer before. The very first scene in the trailer, it's a profile shot of Cara Maria.
No.
She's right there in the very first scene of it. So they're not trying to hide it.
No, well, it might go. That means she probably Naomi goes home pretty early.
And the one other thing, and we'll get off of this 2 minute trailer.
Yeah. Or 10 minutes.
Our boy Johnny Bananas. Do you think he is sitting there thinking of taglines to say to make it into like previews and trailers and whatnot for the show when he comes out with "All is fair in love"? War and Challenges, which is the name of my fantasy team.
I think he's just really good at the show. I think he knows how to game it.
He's made more money at the show than anyone else ever.
And that's why I drafted him.
$270,000+. I don't know if that's before or after taxes. Cut it in half or so if it's before. So Dan and I, we decided we were going to do another fantasy league. We have our favorites. We decided to go four teams of guys and four teams of girls apiece. And people we weren't so big on towards the bottom of the draft. Dan takes Jessica and Bird last. I take Jasmine and Teresa. Although Jazz has some pop here and there. He goes with Derek from Cancun and Rob from St. Thomas. I take Knight and Preston. I like Knight.
Hate Preston.
Preston is in as Johnny Bananas tells Knight in the trailer, you're in a sinking ship with Preston. Dan picks up Janae and Nani. I pick up Anissa and Diem. And I like Anissa and Diem. I'm a little worried on Diem. She's coming off of her chemo. She's cancer free. She's back on the show. But I've seen Anissa. Anissa has gotten into fantastic shape. She's doing Rachel Robinson's
workout,
like CrossFit type stuff.
Okay,
and she looks to be in tremendous shape. And then Cook and Naomi, which I'm really excited about now.
Now it's Cook and Cara Maria.
It's Cook and Cara Maria.
That would have been a good team.
Dunbar and Tyree for Dan.
Tyree, if you watch the challenge, they show him lifting a lot of weights and working out. I think Tyree,
Tyree dropping some LBs.
Yeah, dropping some LBs.
I think
he's tired of getting pushed around. I think he's ready for this. Dunbar, you never know with Dunbar. Like, Usually,
last time we saw Dunbar, he was fat.
Usually, Dunbar only succeeds when he hooks up with the right team, like the right
And by hook up, you mean hook up.
Yeah, not even that, but you know, if Wes or Kenny want to be friends with Dunbar, he'll go far, but he's not really a good competitor in these.
Okay, so that brings us our top four picks on each side. Fourth overall.
I got Sarah Rice and Trashel.
Trashel Cannatella.
Yeah, you gotta like, I like Sarah. She's one of the smarter people on these challenges, so.
Trivia master?
Yeah, trivia spelling, you know, for each.
Puzzle you know, wizard. She says it on her business card.
Yeah, so I took her because I think that, and she's, you know, she's a really good swimmer too, and so. That really helps a lot when they're doing their swimming. So I think Sarah's getting better and better.
I like Sarah, and I kind of like Trishelle, but Trishelle's just bad at challenges.
Yeah,
that's what discouraged me there. My number four went with Leroy and Ty. Leroy's a popular guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ty's had his ups and downs. I think two challenges ago when Paula and Ty were hooking up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot on those guys.
Yeah.
You're number three?
I took Trey and Zach. You know, you gotta like Zach, right? Oh, Zach is a beast.
Four is a beast.
I'm a little concerned about Trey. Last challenge, he was the one that like he just couldn't connect with anyone. He always felt homesick, and even though he's in shape, he's a big guy, he just doesn't seem like...
I think part of his problem on the last one may have been they may have gone just straight from St. Thomas to there.
Oh, and
he had spent a lot of time away from home.
So, you know, I think he got his rookie season underneath him, and I think he's right. I think he knows what to expect. You know,
and he doesn't have to deal with Laura being there either.
Oh, God. Okay. Good for him. She'd wear me down.
Number three, I kind of went out on a limb. I took a rookie team really early on, and I'm excited about him. I think Marlon and Jordan are going to be good. Marlon kind of lit up when he talked about the challenge on the Portland reunion.
I agree.
Marlon, former college Division I BCS college linebacker, and Jordan, very athletic. I mean, by his Real World Portland castmates, they say he's good at everything.
Yeah, we saw it during the season. You agree? I saw this is the team that I didn't get that I wanted the most. I am a little worried because they're rookies, so are they going to get targeted the most?
But if they're winning...
Yeah, but Jordan, like, you know, Jordan's a beast. I'm a little worried if he has to do a lot, you know.
I'm worried about his social.
Yeah, but I think, again, he might... like we saw at the end of the Real World season, I think he was a lot more likable than people
thought. Than it was produced.
Produced, yeah.
We're talking a lot about producing this.
Yeah, we are. I think this is the team that could surprise a lot of people.
So then with your number two pick, you go with the girls' team.
Jimmy and Camila. You gotta like Camila. She's come on.
Talk about two like firecrackers you got on one team. That could go.
They had a lot of drama from their rivals from the last season of Battle of the Seasons. I don't think they like each other. I saw a couple videos of them kind of promoting rivals too. I still don't think they like each other. But I think they're strong competitors, especially in the female.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Those two, neither of them strike me as great athletes.
But they win.
But they're very good competitors.
Yeah. They don't always win, but they don't lose either.
My number two team, my top women's team, has the best athlete in the of all the girls, in Emily.
A beast.
And Emily's one of the best female challenge people of all time. And then she's paired up with Paula Walnuts, and Paula has been on more challenge seasons than anyone else, 10 seasons counting this one. But she's gotten a lot better. I feel like her fitness has come up, her desire to win has come up, and she doesn't seem as crazy anymore.
We haven't seen Paula in a while. She was on Battle of the Seasons, and I can't remember if she was on the one before that.
Yeah, she was on seven straight seasons before that.
Okay, so I don't know about Paula. Again, you can't take the crazy out of Paula. I think we'll see. I think, you know, I agree with you that Emily is the top female. You know, she might even be one of the top competitors total. But Paula, again, she's someone who locks on with the right team. And Emily might just be that right team for her.
Yeah. And I think Cook may be in that conversation also for best athlete.
She just hasn't had time to show it. She hasn't been on many seasons.
She hasn't been on any, I don't think.
Heck, you're right. She might not. Yeah.
And then Kara's a good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Your number one team, or your number, I pick number one overall, you pick number two overall, so who you got?
My top team, Johnny and Frank. Johnny Bananas, who, like we just earlier said.
Frank Sweeney.
The most, you know, the winningest contestant in all challenge history. And then Frank, who I think is the next.
They won last season, right?
Frank won last season, won Battle of the Season. So he's, you know, he's a winner. He's kind of a loose cannon. But I think Johnny can bring him in and tell him, like, hey, this is all about the money.
Was that your number one team or your number two team?
I think it's my number one team. Okay.
So we both got our number one team.
Yeah.
I got my number one girls team and my number one guys team. I presume you got your number two girls team.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about your number one team.
Oh, my Wes and CT.
Okay, so
This could go terribly wrong or awesomely well.
Yes. People hate Wes.
People hate CT.
People hate CT. CT's never won.
CT is winless. Wes has won once. Wes is incredibly good, though, in the gauntlet or gulag or dome or whatever you're talking about, as is CT. So despite being hated, they have the wherewithal, they have the ability to go into the challenge and come back out every time.
You're right. And they will get, I think they'll go, you know, for the last couple seasons that Wes has been on, he gets immediately picked. He's the first one to go, even before the rookies now. It used to be rookies go first, and then you start targeting people. Yeah. Now it's Wes.
See, I wish we would go back to some kind of scoring system to like go into it, the challenge.
There was no drama then. It was just always the bottom person, you know, went out. So now we got alliances and dramas. And
so, okay, maybe a scoring system to pick the, like, inner circle of, like, top two or three people, they get to choose who's going in.
You're thinking logically here. you got to make it logical.
So we're gonna transition here from that, kind of our outlook on this season, and into the Reality Rewind segment. And Reality Rewind is where we take a look at a vintage show of some sort or a gaming topic, and kind of give you our take on this week is the All Challenge team, and since we're getting ready to start the challenge here in a couple weeks, where we build our perfect co-ed teams of the best challenge players of all time.
Yes.
So let's start with the women's team.
Okay.
I'll go first, and these are in no particular order. I have Evelyn. Ev, one of the stronger female competitors really ever. She's won three times. She won the Inferno, number three. She won the Island. She won Rivals.
I have Evelyn, too. So
we're both on board with that.
We're both on the same page with her. She's a strong competitor. She's not only, you know, fierce, but she's also really, I mean, she's strong. She's one of the tiniest girls out there, but she might be one of the strongest girls out there.
She doesn't cause a lot of problems socially. No. She's involved sometimes, but
she has, like, one or two drinks a night or something. Yeah, you can tell that.
Who else do you have on your women's squad?
Here's going to be a surprise that you probably wouldn't think. I took Jen with two N's.
Jen Krivalja.
Yeah. She actually is a pretty good competitor on these things. Everyone seems to like her. She's a little fireball on her team. Someone you want that, you know, she always has a boyfriend. It's always, whenever she's on the challenge, it's always like, who's going to be her challenge boyfriend or girlfriend? We saw that one episode, so I thought she's a fireball, and I think you want her on your team.
See, I consider Jen, because she's got a good record.
Yes.
But I didn't go with her ultimately because I don't feel like she's... I was building a team that I wanted to be a part of, and I didn't feel like she was a great asset to win things. I felt like she was more of a manipulate the situation
person. You need we'll talk about this in guys. You need that on your team in this game.
Another person I have Laurel Stuckey.
No go. Oh, wow.
I like Laurel. Laurel's never won. She's been to the final three times though. She went to the final in her first season, fresh meet. Kenny picked her, I think, number one overall.
Yeah.
She's very athletic, former athlete.
I'll tell you what I don't like Laurel. Like, she was on that fresh meat season with Kenny. You know, she won with Kenny when they were on.
And that was Fresh Meat 2.
Yeah, Fresh Meat 2, because Kenny was Fresh Meat 1. But Laurel felt like she owned the place, like her second season. Like, she wasn't a rookie anymore. Like, she, you know, by being paired with Kenny.
Felt like she had one season where she kind of had an attitude. Other than that, I liked on Rivals 1, she's paired up with Cara Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And they really embraced it, and they became good friends.
Yeah, they did. That was not. But I'm not a fan of Laurel.
Okay, who else you got on your women's team?
Another surprise you're not going to... Veronica.
Again? I saw Veronica on that list, and Veronica just isn't good at challenges.
She's been to 4 finals. She's won 3 of them.
She's a coattailer.
she's good. She's a winner.
She hasn't been on much...
She's classic.
She hasn't been on much when there's been a actual physical challenge you have to go into at the end of each round. She was in early where it was just vote people out.
Yeah, which was a lot harder because in the old days they would just vote the person who had the lowest scores or whatnot.
Or if they didn't like
it. Yeah. So I think I think my team's a little bit more of a tactical team.
Okay, I have a good one here for you. I guarantee you don't have her. I have Holly.
Wow.
Holly Shand. She was on Road Rules Latin America. She was on 3 challenges. And won 2 of them.
That's a good record.
Good record. I liked her when she's on Road Rules. She won the Challenge 2000 before we even started calling it by his other names. And then she won the Inferno. She's also in the first battle of the season. She teamed up with Josh, who was the blonde guy that had some like cornrow dreadlocks from her season of Road Rules. So I liked Holly Shand a lot.
Okay, so this is another classic. I took Susie Meister.
Susie Meister's a good one.
She was probably one of the
smartest. You just told me yesterday you hated Susie. Now she's on your team. I
told you. She was the Sarah Rice before Sarah Rice. She's really smart. She's probably the smartest contestant.
She's a button pusher.
Yeah, she is a button pusher. She's very sneaky about the way she does. She comes off, she insults you with a smile. She always did. But she was really smart, and you need a smart person on your team.
All right, I have Emily. We already talked about Emily. Yeah. Emily Schramm. She's been to 2 finals. She's strong. She's athletic. I like her a lot.
And then finally, probably the leader of my team, Coral Smith.
Coral Smith.
I think she's the godmother of challenges.
I feel like your challenge team would be good under the old rules of the challenge.
Maybe.
I pick mine more. Mine's more of an athletic team. My final person, I have Rachel. I feel like Rachel to me is the godmother of winning challenges.
Yeah, she's maybe the Michael Jordan of.
Yeah. But so I'm Rachel, Emily, Ev, Laurel, and Holly. Mine's a very athletic team where yours is more of a, maybe a winning group, and they've just done it in a different manner.
I don't think your team is probably physically stronger. I don't know if they're mentally stronger. My team, it will cut you. My team, it will be catty. If they would break you down mentally. All your team would quit probably.
My people that I didn't have any. I had some leftovers. They were Sarah Rice, Cara Maria, and Paula. They didn't make the cut. So let's go to the guys. We're running short on time. I took Darrell.
I took Darrell too.
I like Darrell. I think Darrell's won 4 challenges. That's more than anybody else.
Yes.
Well, there's one other person. But he's won the Gauntlet, the Inferno 2, Fresh Meat. He's a former boxer. I wish they would bring him back. I love Darrell.
And Darrell
if I'm playing on a team, I want Darrell on my team.
And he even might have the fight of the challenge history when Brad was drunk and like, hit me, boy, hit me. And Darrell finally, after bothering him for like 30 minutes, Darrell just took one hit and knocked Brad out.
Who else you got?
I'm going to go with Derek.
I have Derek as well.
Okay, again, Derek.
Derek Kaczynski, he hosts the podcast just like us.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Remember that season where he went to 5 straight elimination rounds and won? Every week they just put him in.
He's tiny.
Put him in.
He's a small guy.
And he just kept winning and winning and winning. Finally, he just broke down like he couldn't go anymore.
Derek won 3 times, Inferno 3, The Island, and Ruins.
I have Landon too.
Landon, Real World Philadelphia. We like the same guys. Yeah. We like the same girls.
This guy's like a monkey. I mean, this
Landon,
guy. climb mountains.
I think he's won 3 out of 4 challenges.
Yeah, he has won 3 out of 4. I mean, guy's a beast. I think he's underrated. I think in all of the challenges, guys, he's probably the most...
Great player. Seems like a good guy, too.
Yeah, I agree.
So, we're 3 for 3 matching up. I have Mr. Beautiful.
Kenny, so do I.
Kenny Santucci.
I Kenny, too.
Kenny with 3 wins. The Inferno, 3. The Island and the Ruins. So, that means he and Derek and both were Inferno 3, both were Islands, both were Ruins. Johnny was Island and Ruins, so those were some strong teams they had going there.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you have? Who's your number one guy?
Who else?
The Godfather?
The Miz.
The Miz. The Miz.
This guy, when he was on it, again, it's been a while since he was on the challenges, but he dominated this, I mean, this category, these challenges. He went to finals every time he was on there. He only had 2 victories, but he consistently won everything. And, of course, what led to him becoming WWE champion.
It's funny, though. He consistently won stuff, but he didn't win, the challenges. He just won. He was really good socially.
Yes.
Which he's in a very social job now as The Miz.
Which was funny because during his season, remember, that's one of the things he was almost too much personality and couldn't get along with a lot of the...
Remember all the swag he had?
Yes.
I have one of the hats. I have a Be Good, Be Bad, Be Miz hat. And my number one, you know who my number one's going to be. He's arguably my favorite person from any of these shows ever. And that's the one and only Mark Long.
Ah, the old man, the Godfather.
The Godfather. Joined us today, Mark Long, 2 wins. He won the Real World Road Rules Challenge, which was one of the very early ones, if not the first. And then he won Battle of the Sexes Season 1. We both didn't take Johnny.
No.
I think that was because Johnny's a little controversial. We both didn't take Wes. We both didn't take CT. I think that's probably for the same reasons.
Yeah. You,
Kenny's kind of in that category.
But I think you need a Kenny. But Kenny, yeah. Again, will...
He's, I mean, more he'll logical.
Get under your, yeah, he'll get under... He knows when to pick his button, and he will get under the right people's skin.
So that was a Reality Rewind. Quick random review. I'm getting very excited for Whodunit coming up on ABC. It looks like a Clue meets The Mole minus Anderson Cooper. And it looks like a fun show. They've released the first 10 minutes of the first episode online. I've convinced Dan to give it at least a 1-episode trial. So I'm excited about that. So that's a... quick random review. Also, go check out the Mikey T video if you can find it. Mikey T, Bachelorette, Dez, deleted scene. In the news, what do you got, Dan?
I got a quick news segment. Go back to the year 2009. What's hot? The 2 most hottest things in 2009, Kate and John plus 8, and Ed Hardy. Came out in the news today. Ed Hardy said that John ruined his fashion line by wearing his shirts all the time. I was like, yes. Remember, yeah. John, known around, every time, yeah, he was on TV, he was wearing an Ed Hardy t-shirt. Well, Ed Hardy came out this week and was saying that John Gosling personally ruined his clothing.
Well, his name's not Ed Hardy. I can't remember what his name is. But the guy that owns Ed Hardy was the same guy that did Von Dutch back in the...
Yes.
Which, remember, the Von Dutch stuff was very popular on The Challenge, yeah, back in the day. Yes. The guys used to roll in with the Von Dutch trucker hats. And I didn't think I had a news item, and then it turns out I do. I have one printed out right here. So everybody knows that one of my favorite Real Worlders of all time is Jamie Murray, Season 9, New Orleans. He was kind of the venture capitalist guy. He had gone to Cornell. And I stumbled across on the internet yesterday, and I quickly ordered this on DVD. Turns out, back in like 05, Jamie, I'm just going to read it to you. Official update on Jamie. Jamie recently finished up his production on a reality DVD called Reality Road Trip Bahamas. It brings past reality television stars such as Kara from South Pacific, Ronnie from the Northern Trail. Remember Ronnie?
Yeah.
Mary Beth from South Pacific.
Oh, Mary Beth.
Sarah from Campus Crawl, which that's Sarah Grayson. She was kind of the mousy, light skin, dark hair girl. That she was on a couple challenges. Possibly my favorite, Malik.
Oh,
back to New York, and then Eric Mies from New York, season one, and a few other cast members falls home to the Bahamas, catches their trip on tape. It's like a whole new season. You have to watch it on a DVD. It's less than an hour. I ordered it for like $4. I'm excited to see it come in the mail. I was sure to bring a critique of it here to this podcast. Be sure to make Dan a copy. Dan, what else? You got anything else?
I think that's it. I think we got a busy summer coming up. Next week is the Big Brother. That starts next week. And then, you know, we're just counting down the days until Challenge Rivals 2. Yeah.
Big Brother, June 26th. MTV Challenge Rivals 2, Wednesday, July 10th. We are looking forward to it. We will see you again here next Friday.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AfterRealityPod and like our Facebook page at AfterRealityTVPodcast.
Like us on iTunes. Follow Dan on Twitter
at Daniel Oler, OEHLER.
Follow me on Twitter at SpencerK11. Don't pull a Mesnick in the next week. Reminding you, we like bears and Mexican food. Till next time, we'll see you on the After Reality TV podcast.